May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our High Priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. Hymn 120.
Thank you. us to read together the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and unite our hearts in prayer unto him. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw us now, raise us up above ourselves, above the things of this perishing world. Draw us, Lord, we will run after thee. We would thank thee for thy mercies to us. Indeed, they are countless as the sands, and the very least of them is completely and utterly undeserved. Lord, we do not deserve one of the breaths we draw, one of the crumbs of food which we have eaten and the water which we have drunk this day. Lord, nor have we deserved those mercies that have preserved us and brought us together, but especially how undeserving we are of that mercy that has kindled in our heart the flame of never-dying love, and has put in our hearts even this evening that desire, for we hope it is a God-given desire with which we've come into thy house. We may see Jesus. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for thy dear Son, and all that he is, the beauty of his glorious person, that he is God, that he is man in one glorious person. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou didst require of him, and all, Lord Jesus, that thou didst do in obedience to thy Father, but art still doing in the way of intercession, in the way we've sung in the hymn. Oh, we thank thee for the Spirit. Oh, the mercy wherein thou hast given thy Spirit to any of us, in the new birth, in conviction of sin, in indicting prayer and in answering prayer, in revealing Christ in any measure, in shedding abroad his love, in sealing pardon, in revealing the truth. Lord, we pray continue thy mercy and grant us, Lord, a measure of thy love unknown. For, Lord, it is a little of thy love we know at most. It is a very little of thee we know. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst lead us in that way wherein we should truly come to know thee more, and the power of thy resurrection and the fellowship of thy sufferings be made conformable to thy death. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst mercifully and graciously chasten us as thou seest need, correct us, rebuke us, Lord, strip us of fancied meekness, purge us of the dross and tin, burn up the wood and the hay and the stubble of the religion of the flesh. Lord, search us and know our hearts, try us and know our thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. O Lord, leave none of us to be deceived, we pray, in the vital matter that is before us as we come into thy house this evening. Lord, oh, we do pray for that true and living faith. Lord, that faith of thine elect, that faith which is thy gift, that grace through which thy people are saved. Oh, do grant it to us. Oh, where thou hast given any, and that has been manifest in the upward glancing of an eye, in the groan, in the sigh, in the cry as we've come into thy house. Oh, increase that faith, Lord, we pray. Oh, that we might know, Lord, that thou art ours. Oh, we pray for that assurance that is given Job, even in the midst of his trial. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. O Lord, do grant that work of thy grace, that truly our reins might be consumed within us, for that blessed prospect, for that blessed seeing God face to face, and being made like unto thy dear Son, to be with thee, which is far better. Lord, do grant us then, we pray, daily that diligence, which is all of thy grace, that diligence to make our calling and election sure. O Lord, do grant us grace to take heed to the exhortation through the Apostle Paul. We desire that ye do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Lord, we pray tonight for the confirming of thy people, the establishing of thy people, the strengthening and settling. We pray, Lord, for the healing of thy people. Lord, they come sickly, as those who were brought to thee in the even time when thou wast here on earth. Lord, we read, thou didst heal them all. Oh, we pray it may be done tonight. Leave us not, Lord, to doubt this when we ask it. Lord, leave us not to ask it in doubt, but favour us, Lord, to ask in faith, nothing wavering, believing that if it is thy will, thou art able to do this. Send none unhealed away. It might be such an evening. Ah, Lord, what an evening it would be to remember if every one from this company went away healed. Lord, it is possible, for all things are possible with thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, oh, according to thy holy mind and will, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, thou art that blessed physician. There is no other physician of souls. Lord, all others are physicians of no value. But thou art Jehovah Rophi. I am the Lord which healeth thee. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come down in thy mighty and merciful power, the blessed Spirit. Lord, if we are careless, make thy word like thunder. Lord, if we are wounded, make thy word like balm. If we are guilty, filthy, make thy word the fountain of the precious blood of Emmanuel. O Lord, if we are in a storm, make thy word that peace that bids that storm be still. Lord, then, if we are in perplexity, make thy word a light, a lamp, so we should know the way wherein we should go. Lord, bless this people, do them good. Lord, do grant them, we pray, thy favour, that favour thou bearest toward thy people, thy presence, Lord, in their path, thy grace, Lord, bestowed, the fear of the Lord, the living faith, the true gospel repentance, and love and hope. Grant, Lord, thy upholding under the trials, the perplexities, the tribulations of the way. Sanctify these things to them. Bless the families, we pray. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be manifestly and powerfully in the homes, in our houses, in our families. O Lord, do call our children, our grandchildren by thy grace, we pray. According to thy holy will, put thy fear in their hearts, a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death, strong confidence. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst help. Help, Lord, those that go forth, watch over and keep the children at school. Keep them, Lord, from dangers physical and dangers spiritual. O Lord, do speak in their hearts that still small voice. When error is brought before them, may that still small voice say, that is not true, the word of God is true. O Lord, let that still small voice preserve them from going astray. And bring them back when they, and if they do go astray. O Lord, let that still small voice call them to the mercy seat and answer them therefrom. O Lord, do bless them. Raise them up a seed to serve thee, we pray. A generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. O, do help parents and others in the midst of life. We pray, Lord, that thy work may appear, Lord, to them and to their children. Lord, do bless thy people. Oh, we ask, Lord, for gospel liberty to those who are in bonds. We pray, Lord, for pardon for those who are languishing under the guilt of their sin. We pray, Lord, for the resurrection power to those that feel to be those dry bones, and lo, they were very dry. Oh, grant, Lord, could it please thee even this evening, that prophecy unto the dry bones, that they may live. The word of the Lord with its quickening, resurrecting power. For the written word and the incarnate word in all things are the same. Lord, do bless the deacons and those that fill this office in thy church, and bless thy ministering servants. O Lord, may these men be graciously helped of thee in their respective offices. O Lord, do give wisdom. Grant, Lord, above all else, thy felt presence. Favour them to hear thy voice so that they shall know they're not alone in their office. Lord, direct them, uphold them, preserve them. Shield them, Lord. All these men, they are, Lord, at the forefront if they are thy servants. Our Lord, it is them upon whom the adversary shoots his arrows in the first instance with regard to the church of God. Lord, do grant us each that grace to stand fast. In the faith once delivered unto the saints, that faith once delivered, that eternal word, that unchanging word. O Lord, we pray for grace to stand fast. Lord, to stand fast in pleading with thee. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. O Lord, let not the standard bearer fall, we pray. Lord, we ask help for each in affliction and weakness. Be very merciful and gracious to thy afflicted people. Lord, draw near. Come alongside them, Lord. Yea, come into their hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, that comforter we've read of. Lord, I will not leave you comfortless, thou said. I'll come to you. Oh, where it is thy will, do heal. Lord, help thy people to pray without ceasing. Lord, for thy mercy. Lord, could it please thee to heal? Oh, we pray subject to thy holy will, but if it could please, they do heal. We read of thy servant Elisha going in unto the room where that dead boy lay, and he prayed unto thee. And Lord, that is answering. Oh, we pray for that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. We plead for Zion, thy gracious outpouring, thy maintaining. We pray, Lord, for Holy Ghost converts. We pray, Lord, for a growth in grace. We pray for pardon. Forgive, Lord, the sins that have grieved thee, and cause there to be such a solemn withholding of thy spirit. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not altogether withholden him. We thank thee for what thou hast done and art still doing. But Lord, we confess our sins. Lord, we have not served thee as we ought. Lord, we have not preached as we ought. We have not heard as we ought. We have not walked as we ought. We have not prayed as we ought. After we have done all, we have to say we're unprofitable servants. Oh, have mercy, Lord. Forsake us not. Oh, Lord, have respect unto thy covenant. We do beseech thee. Turn and have mercies upon Zion and upon Britain, if it could please thee. Stem the tide of iniquity, we beg. O Lord, do grant, Lord, the power of thy spirit. Lord, that there might be that miraculous causing of the men and women and boys and girls of this country to come to know the scriptures and to see it is thy word. And to see their sins in the light of that word. But Lord, to see the way of salvation and walk therein. We ask in Jesus' precious name. and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1077. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way canst show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. Hymn 1077.
in dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14. Reading verses 1, 2, and 3. John, chapter 14, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The context of these words illustrates, demonstrates the greatness of the love of Christ to his people. The fullness of what this word means, let not your heart be troubled. For how did the previous chapter end? It ended with the Lord Jesus telling Peter that he would deny him. The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Oh, my dear friends, it is concerning our sin. Above everything else that we need this word, let not your hearts be troubled. Do I speak to sinners here tonight whose hearts are troubled because of their sin? The Lord has convinced you of it. What is the trouble of your heart? It is this. Oh, how can I face an angry God? The trouble of your heart is this. The guilt of your sin lies on your conscience. As he has told you, as he told Peter of what you're capable of and has convinced you of what you're capable of, made you realize it and made you feel it. There's nothing, my dear friend, that we're not capable of, left to ourselves. And there is nothing good that we are capable of ourselves. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord only says this to those he loves. This is the ground of this word of comfort and consolation to his people. Let not your heart be troubled. Peter, you may deny me, but I will not deny you. You may say oaths and curses, but I, Peter, will die for you. And this evening, the Peter's here. It is not I will die for you, but I have died for you. I've laid down my life for you. I've borne your sins in my own body on the tree. But of course, the secret of this word lies in the power of one, the one who speaks it. Remember what Paul says in one place, if we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life. And we read his words in this chapter, didn't we, this evening? Because I live, ye shall live also. John 6 also, he says, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This is the secret of believing. Faith cometh by hearing. and hearing by the word of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Christ without measure. When he was here on earth, and that same power he speaks with from heaven. Yes, in 2017 he does, and down to the end of time he will do. Where the word of a king is, there is power. I remember a time in my life, my dear friends, I may have told you about it before. It will bear repetition. Never felt lower in my life, physically and spiritually. And the Lord spoke these words with power to my soul. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And I did. That was the very thing that troubled me more than anything else. Here I was in this trouble, and could I believe? No. No. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let not your heart be troubled. Of course, the very words indicate who they are spoken to. When the gospel is preached by Christ and by his ministers, the condition of the people he speaks to identifies them. He does not say when he bids one come to him, he does not say, come unto me, all ye elect. He doesn't say here, let not your heart be troubled, all ye elect. He says to the troubled heart. He says to the weary and the heavy laden. He says to the troubled heart, let not your heart be troubled. He says to the weary and the heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. To the thirsty, he says. Oh, that last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, not if any of you are elect, no. Of course, it is only the elect who receive that word with power. But if he said, if any of you elect, come unto me and drink, no one would come. No. Election is known by calling. Calling comes first. He calls the sinner in the condition they're in. Why, my dear friend, this is the point upon which he calls the sinner to venture. Thou callest burdened souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Thou callest thirsty souls to thee, and such, O Lord, am I. Thou callest guilty sinners to thee, and such, O Lord. Thou callest lost sinners to thee, and such, O Lord, I am. So the word is spoken to the troubled heart. That's where the trouble is. The peculiar trouble that Jeremiah speaks of. There is none like it, he says. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's heart trouble. Soul trouble. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. You know, very often, in fact, usually when the Lord begins to convince a sinner of their sin, he begins by speaking to them of their outward sins. But it doesn't end there. Before he blesses a sinner with pardon, he must get to heart sins. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. the unbelieving heart. When he is come, said Jesus, he shall convince of sin. What sin? Many sins. But as one hymn writer says in the hymn, paraphrasing what Jesus said, of sin because they believed not on me. He perceives at length his unbelief. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. A sinner that truly believes in God but believes not in Christ must have a troubled heart. That's the cause of their trouble, isn't it? They believe in the Holy God but cannot believe in him who is not only holy, not only just, but a Saviour. They believe in him who created all things. Ye believe in God, the Creator. Thou, O God, hast made heaven and earth. Ye believe in God who wrote the law in man's heart. God wrote the law, his law, in man's heart when he created him. The apostle speaks of this in one of his epistles. They show the work of the law written on their heart. Men may profess to be atheists, but they're not really. I don't believe one man will really die an atheist. Because God has written his law on his heart in creation. The devil blinds men's hearts, that's true. So there is no gracious believing in God except through the sovereign grace of God. But how many a man who has gone through life a fool, saying in his heart there is no God, see him on his deathbed, trembling, averting the eye. Oh, he will not have any man that fears God come near him. He cannot stand any reading from that holy book of God. He cannot stand any mention of that great God who in his hardness of heart is still denying, yet really in the depths of his being, he knows God is. Ye believe in God. The God then who has given that holy law. And the God who in giving that holy law, because it is his law, he must also give that sentence concerning the transgression of that holy law. God could not give his law and omit the sentence, the warning of punishment. When he told Adam and Eve, ye may eat of the fruit of every tree, except that one tree. He warned them what the punishment would be if they disobeyed him. He said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they did. And it was because they believed in God that they hid themselves in the garden and fled from him. But how could they believe in his Son till God came, pursued after them? And gave them the promise concerning his Son, the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Ye believe in God. You see, the special work of God's grace in the heart of his people by which they believe in God does not deliver them from a troubled heart until the Lord brings them to believe in his Son. Ye believe in God. Again, very often in the way the Lord deals with his people, he begins with them in the way of providential things. And many a child even has been caused by God to call upon God concerning some providential matter. Something they're greatly afraid of, or something they need done, or something lost perhaps, and they pray to God that they might find it, and he answers their prayer, and in that way they prove that they believe in God. You see, the proof that it is really the work of sovereign grace in salvation is when he leads them on in this matter. That child that perhaps prayed that prayer, they never thought of their sins. God caused them to pray in that temporal thing without any consideration of their sins. But he leads them on and brings them to this, and then no answer to providential prayer can relieve their soul concerning their sins. When they prayed for that answer in a providential matter, they didn't think of their soul. Perhaps they didn't even realize properly that they had a soul. But when they do, no providential answer to prayer will relieve that grief and sorrow and troubled heart concerning having a never dying soul. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, that God before whom you believe and know you must appear. That God before whom you believe and know you stand revealed now exactly as you are. That God who you believe in, and in believing him you know he sees everything you do, hears everything you say, knows everything you think. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe also in me. It's not believe instead in me. No. Christ would never, could never say that. You cannot believe in the Son without believing in the Father. The two are so inseparably connected, of course, with the third person, the Holy Ghost also. But how can there be a Son without a Father? How can there be a Father without a Son? Believe also in me. Now, this does not mean that Jesus Christ is with regard to his Godhead different to his Father. It does not mean that he is less holy than his Father, less almighty than his Father. It doesn't mean that he hates sin less than his Father. No, that could not be, for they are one. What is the difference then? The difference is not in deity. The difference is in the person of Christ, that he is God and man. The difference therefore is that the Son alone is the Redeemer. The Son alone is the Mediator. The Son alone is the Law Fulfiller. The Son gave the law just as the Father gave the law. But the Father could not fulfill the law. But he sent his Son to do that very work for his people. believe also in me. Believe also, I am sent by my Father. Oh, that is a blessed aspect of this word also. Believe also in me. Why? Oh, my dear friend, this blessed truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Father's servant to do the Father's work, to do the Father's will. He says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. And Jesus, in this same chapter, as he does in other places, speaks of the words that he speaks being those that his Father gave him to speak. Believe also in me. But what is it to believe in Christ? What is it to believe in Christ? Look at that little word in. In. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It speaks of Christ, the sinner's hiding place. Believe also in me. Remember how Moses was granted that wonderful revelation in answer to his prayer, show me thy glory. And the Father said to him, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen in me. The sinner that believes in Christ. That is, the Spirit shows them that Christ is that blessed hiding place for sinners. He is that blessed one in whom the church is complete, and ye are complete in him. The book of Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Believe also in me, the Father smitten his Son. Oh, that riven side of his. Sinner, there's no other hiding place tonight. There's no other hiding place tonight. There's no other refuge for a sinner like you, nor a sinner like me. Why? Because only by that side being riven, that is, only by those ignominious sufferings, even unto death, was sin dealt with by God. That trouble of your heart, if it be sin, can only be taken away by faith in the sin bearer. And that is what Christ was, the sin bearer. Their sin-bearing surety I stood. For them my life did resign. That when by stern justice arraigned, the sinner should look unto me. Believe also in me. You see, the Lord, by speaking this, brings a sinner from one place to another. Where are you? Where am I tonight? With regard to the great and solemn question, is it well with thy soul? We may be in carelessness. What a dangerous place that is. Perilous place. If we're the Lord's, he won't leave us there. He'll drive us out of that false refuge and make us tremble. We shall not be careless then. But then we may be where the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was. If any man had trust in the flesh, I more. Ah, my father was a minister. My mother was a godly woman. I've been brought up to go to chapel all my life. I'm a church member. I'm a minister. My dear friend, all of those things are false refuges. It's only that blessed God-man who hung on the cross at Calvary that is the refuge. Believe also in me. Believe also in me. In me. Ah, oh, what a blessed thing. When the Lord calls his people unto himself. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Believe also in me, in who I am, in who I am. This is vital. Verily God, verily man. The great mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. This is the center of this word here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe also in me. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Believe also in me. John Newton said, doesn't he? Nor could I upon him rely unless I was sure he were God. Why is that? John Newton knew he needed an almighty Saviour. And a person who is just a man cannot be an almighty Saviour. The infinite took a finite nature into union with himself. Believe also in me. Ah, what is the precious truth? What is the precious doctrine concerning the incarnation of the Son of God that the Lord makes meat and drink to the hungry, thirsty sinner? It's this. The poor sinner that cannot get to God. What does Paul say? The gospel says. The word which we preach, he says. It says not who shall ascend into heaven, nor who shall descend into the depths. But the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, which is the word which we preach, that if thou believe in thy heart that God hath raised his Son from the dead and confess him, thou shalt be saved. And it's this. God coming down to man, sending his Son to fulfill that law in a perfect obedience in his life and the complete perfection of that obedience in his death. You believe also in me. Oh, that holy man, that God man, able to suffer being tempted, but unable to fall into that temptation. Made under the law, but utterly incapable of breaking that law. He raised our nature in the way he took it. He raised our nature to a level it had never been at before. For never before had there been a man, not even in creation was there a man who could not sin. Such a man is Christ. And of course, never before had there been a man who is God. Man was made in God's image. That doesn't mean man was made divine. He wasn't. He's a man, body and soul. Believe also in me. Why this sets forth his blessed suitability to man's case. To this troubled-hearted sinner. Oh, the sinner tonight that's feelingly drawing near to the grave and their life to the destroyers. And you can't come up to God's standard. The more you try to, the more you fail. But God sends a man that has come up to his standard. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And poor sinner tonight, you cannot make amends for your sin. That law you're under, you don't fully understand it. God sends his Son, and he absolutely and completely and fully understood that law. He knew what it meant, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. Poor sinner tonight who says, I can't even grasp what this law means. No, you can't, because you're carnal. Paul says the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Believe also in me, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Not your knowledge, sinner, his knowledge. Your knowledge, even that which God giveth you, is but a little knowledge. His knowledge is complete. Ah, one who completely understandeth the case of his people, completely understandeth what was needed, ah, completely understandeth what he had covenanted to do when he entered into that suretyship covenant. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Believe also in me. Oh, the person then, but then the work of this person, that complete obedience. Believe also in me. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. As by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. His offering. Believe also in me, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The freeness of this world. Scarcely for a good man would one man dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Believe also in me. Hear me speaking in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Believe also in me then. Those words, it is finished. Daniel prophesied it, didn't he? Messiah cut off, ah, sinner, there is the refuge, there is the hiding place. Messiah cut off, but not for himself, to make an end of sin, to finish the transgression, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. Believe not in yourself. You in yourself cannot do one thing toward this. The fullness of his work, not only the freeness, but the fullness. Oh, the sinner here tonight that says, oh, I could believe in him if I had stronger desires. Strong desires won't save you. Strong desires are good. But what does the hymn writer say? The feeble desires are inspired by Christ, who bids you still seek. Oh, you say, I could believe in him if I could stop sinning. No, it's he that subdues people's sins. Aye, does he say to a sinner, come unto me when you've stopped sinning? No, he could not say that, for he is the minister of truth, not the minister of lies. Ah, I could believe on him if I could believe. Ah, come, poor sinner, as an unbeliever tonight. Why? This work is so complete. So complete. That death in the place of sinners, that death for sinners' sins, that death put away the sin of unbelief. That death made atonement for the sin of unbelief, and that death opened the channel for faith to flow to a sinner. When does faith come into a sinner's heart? It doesn't come up from within. It comes down from above. And how does it come down? It comes down through Christ. Believe also in me. The fullness then, the fullness. Oh, but if I was a better person, surely when I'm like I am, I can't be one of those that Jesus says unto, believe in me. Oh, I can understand why he would say that to that person I know that is of such a meek spirit, that is of such a quiet spirit. My dear friend, it may not be them the Lord speaks to at all. There's a lot of people with a meek and a quiet spirit that go to hell. There's a lot of people with a wretched nature that is the opposite of meekness and the opposite of quietness. And the grace of God pardons those sins and subdues those sins. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's not the meekness of the flesh. It's not the patience of the flesh. It's not anything of the flesh. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Look what a wretched rebel Jonah was. He's in heaven tonight. Look what a wretched rebel Jacob was. He's in heaven tonight. Look what a wretched rebel David was, Solomon was, Peter was. They're in heaven tonight. Raise thy downcast eyes and see numbers to his throne surround. These were sinners. Once like thee, but a full salvation found. Believe also in me. That fullness. This word, you see, it isn't just spoken to the person at the first time of believing in him. Oh, John Newton again, he says, how blessed did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, and that grace appears blessed every hour we believe. In fact, it becomes more blessed as we get older because we don't get better. Dear Joseph Haar, oh, how the man backslid. How the man got in a dreadful place. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have read that. He wouldn't have written that hymn on Gethsemane. The Lord brought him to Gethsemane as a wretched backslider who had sinned not only against law, but against gospel, who had sinned against love, who had sinned against blood, who had sinned against mercy received. Sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. And tonight, my dear friend, I want to broaden this subject concerning the troubled heart and this, let not your heart be troubled. And it's with this word, he that spared not his own son. Is there a believer here tonight and you cannot deny that God has not spared his dear son? You know God has smitten his son for your sins, but you're troubled tonight because of what's happened in your life. You're troubled tonight because of what you fear will happen in your life. You're troubled tonight because of this and that. Well, my dear friend, from the word of God, the Lord bless you with this word, let not your heart be troubled. Because if God has smitten his son for your sins, if the son has borne that smiting in such a willing, loving, gracious, infinite way, do you think he'll let you perish? Do you think he'll let you starve? Do you think he'll let your enemies prevail over you? Do you think this cloud that is gathering is going to mean anything other than mercy for you? That cannot be. I thought of that dear woman this afternoon, that woman of Shunem. In fact, it wasn't this afternoon when I first thought of her, it was in the night. I believe the Lord drew near and drew my attention to that woman. What she said, is it well, what she was asked, is it well? And she said it is well. She believed in God and in his son. It's well when my son is lying dead because God is my God. And he is kind. He is gracious. Ah, where does God show his kindness and his graciousness? You see, those Old Testament saints, they knew Christ. True, in the New Testament, and the scripture itself speaks of it. The fuller manifestation, especially when the Holy Spirit was poured out in such a measure he never had been before. But those Old Testament people, how is it she said it is well? She believed in her God. She believed in her Savior. This that he has sent, it must be for my good. This affliction he's laid upon me, it must be for my good. But it's only when he tells us to believe in him that we can say it is well. This ministry then, it causes the sinner in faith to say, it is well. Shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Believe also in me. For that word believe, as I often do in my poor attempts to speak from the word, we may put that word trust. Trust. This believing in Christ, my dear friend, is crucifying work. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Oh, this is why you and I wouldn't have any trouble if we could avoid it. We'd be able to get on in self without Christ. But if you are the Lord's, my dear friend, tonight, the Lord is going to all your days send things upon you to bring you back to Him. And that's crucifying. Ah, when you cannot get on without Christ. The person He may have taken from you, or the person He may take from you. He does that to bring you to lean harder upon Him. To look more singly to Him. Remember, I believe, yes, it was the weekend that Mr. Curley, the father of your deacon, passed away. And on the Monday, the August Monday, I ventured to speak from that word here. I remember it now. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Trust also in me. Lean hard upon me, sinner. Look singly to me. Believe also in me. Believe also in me. Plead my name. Plead my blood. Look there. Ah, in thinking of the truth in the hymn we began this evening, that intercession, the sinner that cannot come to God. What does the Lord go on to say? There is no way unto the Father but by me. Believe also in me. Ah, you say, my prayers are so poor, they'll never be good enough to get an answer without Christ. Never. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says later on in this chapter, as he unfolds what this means to believe in Him, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Believe also in me. Now that unchangeableness. Ah, you say perhaps this thing that's come upon you, this trouble you're in, it's come because I'm such a sinner. True. But it doesn't mean you're going to perish in it because you're such a sinner. It doesn't mean there's anger in it because you're such a sinner. Anger at your sin, yes, but not to your person. Did Jesus once upon you shine, sinner? Did He tell you once He loved you? Or did He give you one word of pardon? Did He tell you once your sins were forgiven? Did He clothe you once in that glorious robe of righteousness? Ah, but you say, I've polluted it. No, you haven't polluted the robe of righteousness. That cannot be done. That robe remains the same forever. It cannot be polluted. Believe also in me. What does it mean? You'll have to come to Him. You will come to Him in the same way you came to Him the first time. A guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Believe also in me. Come to me, sinner, he says. Come unto me. Believe in me. Flee to me. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. Oh, believe in me. If you believe in Christ, your sins can't be too many. You can't be too bad a character. Your case cannot be too difficult, because the one who is believed in is verily God. Verily, man. in my Father's house. He confirms this also in the first verse. Also believe also in me. In my Father's house. My Father, he says, is greater than I. In my Father's house, that's heaven. Christ came to the sinner's house to take him to the Father's house. He's gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. Sometimes thought of that hymn, and it says, it's an encouraging hymn to the lambs in Christ's fold, the weaklings in faith, who fain would believe him, and in your best room fain would receive him, but fear to presume. I've got no quarrel with the hymn writer at all. He was a more godly man than me. But my dear friend, Christ doesn't come into a sinner's best room. He comes into his worst. Don't try and make the room tidy for him. Ask him to come into your filthy, polluted house, into your filthy, polluted heart, and by coming in, cleanse it. Sanctify the place. In my Father's house are many mansions. The first thing here is this. There are a lot of people saved by grace. True, it is the minority of the human race. It is a small portion of the human race. But it is still a number that no man can number. In the Revelation, and I spoke from that on the Lord's Day at South Morton, the 144,000. They were the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Not the whole number. Oh, how this consideration, and it's a number that only God knows, is a number that no man can number. Mansions. Many mansions. Many mansions. Oh, may that be a word of encouragement to a sinner here tonight that is tempted, oh, surely. Most, if not all, of the Lord's people are saved by now. Surely heaven is almost full, and I know there are some of the Lord's people on this earth, and surely they're the last of the people that is going to fill those places. No, my dear friend. Many mansions. Till the end of time, God will be, by his grace, coming to sinners' houses and gathering them unto his Father's house, in which there are many mansions, and of course the mansion sets forth the glory of it. There is a translation, a false translation of the Word of God, and it translates this passage like this: in my Father's house are many rooms. And a godly man, when he read that or had it read to him, said, no, no, I don't want to go to a room. I want to go to a mansion. My God dwells in mansions. I have rooms here below. God gives me rooms here. My soul wants the Father's mansion. Oh, what a mansion. The glory of that place, my dear friend, cannot be imagined. There's no need of the sun there. Such is the glory of God in the mansion. The streets are of gold. The glory of the place is beyond comprehension, because Christ is the glory of the place. Ah, my dear friend, that's the mansion. And this is what Jesus means when he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what makes heaven the mansion. The Lord himself is the glory of the place. That love which is transcendently great, that love which is infinite, that love that moved the eternal God to come down and take our nature into union with himself and be a worm and no man. That love that moved him, my dear friend, to go to Calvary. The glory of that person that in dying on that cross at Calvary put the sins of the elect away forever. And the glory of that life which he lived, which makes a sinner perfect in God's sight, together with that death which he died. To see that person face to face. That's the mansion. Murray McShane, that beautiful poem, A Debtor. He says, when I stand arrayed, I can't quote it exactly, when I stand arrayed in that glorious righteousness of Christ, faultless before the throne, see him in all his glory, then and not till then shall I know just how much I owe. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Believe also in me. This is it, my dear friend. Jesus says, I always tell you the truth. Where are you looking for the truth tonight, sinner? What does Jesus say? I am the truth. And what does he say? I'll never tell you a lie. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, the assurance for me. The Puritans used to speak of the importance, and they were right, my dear friends. The Puritans were right. The personal pronoun. Me, or as Christ puts it here, you. Speaking to the sinner, speaking to his disciple, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that preparation of the place is when he entered heaven with his own blood. You read the book of the Revelation, and what is it that is seen throughout that book concerning heaven? The blood. The blood. I go to prepare a place for you. The sinner washed in that blood, and the Saviour enters heaven with that blood. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. Who are these that have come out of great tribulation? These have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How was that victory won in heaven? They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's the preparation of the place, the Saviour entering with his own blood. And that's why the Apostle Paul had such a longing to get there. He wasn't thinking of meeting this one or that one or the other one. Wasn't even thinking of being reunited with his dear ones who he believed were gone to heaven. No. To see him as he is. To be with Christ. Murray McShane again, when I love him from an unsinning heart, then and then shall I know how much I owe. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This speaks of his second coming when he stands again on this earth, but it also speaks of him coming at the death of every child of God. That really, in the first sense of it, in their own experience, is the second coming of Christ. Ah, he that came to them in life comes to them in death. He that in coming to them in life saved them and led them on through life's journey, a follower of the Lamb, he comes and leads them through death. How did the Israelites get into Canaan? Jordan overflowed all its banks. The time of harvest. The snow waters have swollen it, so that it's overflowed all its banks. But God instructed Joshua to send the Ark of the Covenant, borne by the priests first, the head of the company. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the feet of the priests go down into the water, go ye after it. What does that mean? Christ will come and go through death, not only as he has done once, actually dying, but in their soul's experience, he will come and go through death before them. Oh, you see, my dear friend, death is such a solemn thing. Only the God-man could conquer it. And in our experience, my dear friend, only the God-man will conquer it when we come there. Oh, to be led through it, to be carried through it, to be upheld through it. Bunyan's Pilgrim says, fear not, brother, I can feel the bottom. And it is good. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You see, that won't be the first receiving. This the Lord is speaking here as he says, believe also in me. He is calling that sinner to come unto him, and he has said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Receive by him in life. Oh, that wonderful moment in a sinner's experience, moments. As the Lord grants it again and again through their life's pilgrimage, when the Lord Jesus receives them. Ah, oh, what condition are they in when he receives them in life? The same condition as they will be in when he receives them in death. When nature sinks beneath her load amidst the din of Jordan's flood, and to take up the words of another hymn writer, when all the help of man proves vain, then to have recourse to God, to breathe a prayer in time of need and feel the balm of Jesus' blood, that's to find a friend indeed. That's to be received. And what condition were you in? You were effectively dead, weren't you? Effectively dead. Slain by the law. Dead to all hope in self. Dead to all hope from the law, but by the Spirit. Fleeing to Christ, and he receives that helpless sinner. My dear friend, this one that says here tonight, believe also in me. The sinner that ventures on him wholly, he cannot reject them. He cannot reject them. It's not anything about them that makes them unrejectable. It's him. It's his oath, his covenant, his blood. I will receive you unto myself. unto himself, that will be without faith. That will be face to face. That will be not through a glass darkly, that where I am, there ye may be also. That where I am, does that mean anything to you, sinner? That where I am, where the lovely Lord Jesus is, where the holy and the just is, where the friend of sinners is, oh, where the chiefest among 10,000 is, where the altogether lovely is, where the perfect man is, there ye may be also. Why? Why? Oh, wonder. Wonder of wonders. That one as vile as I should be there. How? The Lord has said unto that sinner, with power, believe also in me. And it shall come to pass, that everyone that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, in this matter of being brought through death and the soul being landed in glory, and then, of course, what I haven't touched upon, which is the resurrection of the body, when they are given, when their body is changed and made like his, is utterly beyond our comprehension. So is the whole of salvation. Believe also in me. Cast, he said, on me thy care. That's believing in him. Sink into his arms outright. Lose myself in Jesus Christ. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day. And there'll be a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock for the nation. And Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening next week, when we will take a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. The Lord help us to sing the hymn on the sheep. May he grant us true repentance. Grant us the prayer of faith. Help us to sing with reverence. Surely Christ thy griefs has borne. Weeping soul, no longer mourn. View him bleeding on the tree, pouring out his life for thee. There thy every sin he bore. Weeping soul, lament no more.
Thank you.
O Lord, do bless thy word. Send thy people home with it sealed on their heart. Go with us, Lord. Lead us. Oh, keep us, Lord. Help us fully to believe and on thee to cast our care. Pardon all amiss. Grant safe keeping to each. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.